This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Ephesians 5, 8 through 14, and a message entitled, The Believer is to Walk as a Child of Light.
As we continue through the New Testament and we find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14, as we look, as it says there on the screen, the believer is to walk as a child of light. We've been in a series. This is the sixth one, a series of what we are to do because we are so blessed with all spiritual blessings, heavenly, the blessings that come from heaven, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And so we looked at 1, chapter 2, chapter 1, chapter 3, all the blessings, somewhere over 50 blessings that we see that are ours because we have accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts. And then he begins to say, okay, now what is it? What does it mean to be a believer? What is it to look like as we walk? And we looked at we are to walk worthy of our calling in unity. If we are Christians, we will walk worthy of our calling in unity as we go about our lives. We also, as believers, we walk using our gifts. We want to be using our gifts wherever we go, the gifts that he has given us. The believer is to walk differently from the Gentiles. We're in the world, but no longer of the world. So our lives should be different. People would say, should be able to say, there's something different about you. Truly there is. As Christians, we are different from the world. And then the believer is to walk putting off the garment of the old man and putting on the garment of the new man. That's an instruction that we come to understand who we are as Christians. Who we are in Christ Jesus. We take off the things of the world, we put on the things of Christ, and that's how we walk through life. But it takes a decision. And then last week, we saw the believer is to walk imitating God in love. This week, the believer, as I said, is to walk as a child of light. We're going to go through six things, and I'll point them out as we go through here, but six things concerning us being a child of life. You know, there are two walks through life that are available to men. Two walks that are available through life that are available to each and every one of us. The first one, there is the life and walk of darkness. We can choose that. We can choose the walk in the dark. God has given us the freedom of choice. When he created Adam and Eve, he didn't create them as robots. He created them with a choice, the ability to choose where they wanted to go. Think about this. They were in the Garden of Eden. It was beautiful. They had the presence of God there. They had everything that they needed. And yet they decided to make a decision to walk in darkness. They chose darkness over the light that they were experiencing. And so we can look at that. We can study that. We learn a lot from that. But that's the reality. They had a choice. And we have a choice today. There's a life and walk of darkness. And then there's another choice we can make. There is the life and walk of light. And that's what we're going to see as we go through this. We can choose this too. We can make decisions every single day as we walk as Christians. Because there's going to be temptation out there. Is there not in this world? Great temptation that wants us to walk in darkness every single day. We open our computers. There's temptation there. We go to different places in our workplaces and our school places. There's temptation there. There's just temptation just even on our thought mind. We see that. And we can make a choice to walk in the light, follow after the light, or we can make a choice to go into darkness. And that's what Paul's talking about as we go through here. There's a world of difference between the two. In fact, which life and walk he pursues, the believer pursues, determines a person's eternity. Eternity. Whether we walk in dark or whether we walk in light. Whether we make a decision to receive Christ or we make a decision to reject Christ, that's all up to us. It's our responsibility to make the choice to come to God. Join with me in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. It says, For you were once darkness. He's speaking to all of us. Before we knew Christ, there was darkness in our life. But now, since we've accepted Jesus Christ, you are light in the Lord. And so if that is true, walk as children of light. That's the encouragement. Let's find out what light is. And let's read from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, verse 21. And there's light that's in there, and we find out how we're to walk. That's why I would recommend for everyone to read the book of Proverbs every day. The book of Proverbs. Someone challenged me that in the very beginning when I was a Christian. And so I have read the book of Proverbs for over 30 years, each month of a given year. So I'll read the Proverbs 12 times during a given year. And what it does, it brings light. It just trains me. I don't necessarily get goosebumps or, you know, I hear God's voice audibly or any of that, but I'm there in the Word, in Proverbs, and it trains my mind because it's light. It tells me I shouldn't walk this way and I should walk this way. I think everyone should do that. It's not hard. It takes 10, 15 minutes just to go through and you're putting it in your computer in that way. And so that's what he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We read the Bible, so we know what it means to walk as children of light. Then in verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit, some translations that you may have in your laps say the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Either way, either translation, I believe is true. But for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Circle that. Put stars next to that. That's our goal today. That's our goal as we go through our lives every single day. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. It's very important. Person sitting next to you may not have the same vision, may not have the same goals, may not have the same person in Christ that you have. So each of us have, it says in Scripture, be not unwise in Ephesians, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We are to have that. So here Paul says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And notice verse 11, and have, what's the next word? No. No means what? None. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. There are the works of darkness. Galatians chapter 5 speaks of that. Different places speak of it as through the Scriptures. But there are unfruitful works of darkness. If you want to go that way, understand in a spiritual sense, for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, it's going to be unfruitful. It's guaranteed. It's not going to bring glory to God. It's not going to be everlasting. It's not going to be building up people in any way. That's the unfruitful works of darkness. If you want to go into darkness, that's going to be the result, is what he's saying. For the shame, and then he says, but rather expose them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's our purpose, even today. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed or made manifest, they're revealed by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Before I accepted the Lord, I was definitely sleeping. And we as Christians today, even though we have accepted Jesus Christ, we can make a choice not really to embrace the light the way that we should. We can just kind of try to cruise. We want to cruise just through life, everything comfortable, not be challenged. I think we should be challenged as Christians. It's very important that we would ask the Lord to have his way. And every day he would be the Lord and Savior of our lives. So there in verse 8, go back to it again. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Here we see first, light, not darkness, is the nature of the believer. You can see it on the screen. Light, not darkness, is the nature of the believer, of believers. We were once in darkness. Before a person is saved, he is not only in darkness, he is darkness, according to the Scripture. The very embodiment of darkness. He or she is wrapped up in darkness, past, present, and future. What does this mean? A person who does not know God is all alone in reality. He may have plenty of people and friends moving about him, but they, every one of them, will soon die and be gone. In fact, so will he or she, and he will have died in darkness, never having known God. That's a potential for every human being. We can embrace the light or we can embrace the darkness. If we embrace the darkness, then we will not know God in a personal way. Now, you know that. You've given your heart to the Lord. But there's people, no doubts, in a crowd like this sitting here that truly are not born from above at this very moment. They don't know that if they die today, that they would go to be with the Lord forever and ever. Yesterday, I was riding my bike. And so I just love riding my bike. And we were going down this little bit of hill and we're going to make a right-hand turn into this development. And we were going a little fast to make that right-hand turn. And so as I'm going through and Larry Hansen here is leading, he was leading. That was my first mistake. Don't follow Larry Hansen. And he was, I was following him and I had my head down a little bit because I was following him. And we made this turn and all of a sudden he turns ahead of me and he yells out, "Rock! Rocks like that." You don't want rocks with these little tires, okay? And so at that point, I'm making my right-hand turn, and I saw the rock, so I adjust a little bit to the left, but I'm making this 90-degree turn. So I'm making this 90-degree turn, but yet there's the rocks, so I got to avoid them, and then I try to move it, and I'm going too fast, and I was stupid in that way. And then as I'm making the turn, I couldn't make it all the way through, and there's this curb. Okay, this curb that appears right there in the middle of it. It's a median. And so I didn't hit it 90 degree. I hit it from the side, but it's enough to make me go this way, bike go this way, and me go that way. Hit the grass area. Praise the Lord for grass, okay? I hit the grass, and I was doing fine like that. I'm just, and all that. Just probably crying like a baby, and just hitting the grass, just going along like that. But then what is there in front of me? There's this tree. This tree of all things, And so I'm just sliding along and I hit around my neck right that. My neck goes 90 degrees like that. And I feel in my neck, I feel the pressure of it. And that right here in my chest, I feel that too. And I'm just sitting there. I want you to know something. I didn't cuss. And I didn't blame God. So I roll back over and, just feeling and all that. And this guy pulls up and he says, "You want me to call an ambulance?" And I thought, "Nah, no way. I'm okay." Yeah, I like that. He says, "Well, okay, you okay?" "Yeah, yeah." "So what are you going to do?" he asked me. And I said, "Well, I'm going to get back on this bike if I can. I'm a hero." Okay. That's me. Okay. So, and then he pulled off and then another lady would pick up. "Hey, you want me to take your bike somewhere with you or anything like that?" I said, "No, I'm okay. What are you going to do?" And I just felt so proud. I'm going to go get back on that bike, So I did and I was stupid. But anyway. But for a moment, I could have ended life real quickly. I could have. There was a young man, remember him, Jim and Judy, over at Heritage that just slid and he hit his head on the wall and paralyzed from the neck down. You never know. Life is short, is it not? You never know what is around the bend like that. We want to choose light today because there's plenty of darkness if we want to go that way. We don't want to go that way. Look on the screen here and you see a person who does not know God is in darkness because he does not know three things. Number one, where he has come from. They remain in darkness because they don't take time to figure out where they have come from. He doesn't acknowledge that God is his creator. Number two, why is he here on earth? He doesn't take time. They remain in darkness because they don't consider why he is here on earth. He doesn't understand that he is here to love and be loved by God. Isn't it wonderful to be loved by God? It truly is. That was weak, but that's okay. I know you're waiting for lunch. Yeah, you're right. Number three, we see here where he is going after death. People remain in darkness because they don't consider where they're going after death because it can happen in an instant, just instantaneously. He doesn't believe in a literal heaven or hell. And that should drive us, that should challenge us. Jesus said, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." So a person can remain in darkness, but notice what he says. "You were once darkness." Anybody say praise the Lord? You're no longer there because now, notice, "but now you are light in the Lord." How many are light in the Lord? Praise the Lord. Go ahead, you guys can say it. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it doesn't hurt, does it? So that's who we are today. It is Jesus who brings us light. He shows the truth of life, the truth of God, the truth of creation, the truth of death, and the truth of destiny. He brings that truth. But no, Jesus has not only shown us light, he has made us light. Now that should be praise the Lord. According to scripture, he has made us light. Look on the screen. God has changed our nature from darkness to light. That's what he's done. Number one, the light of life has been immersed into our very nature. The Holy Spirit steps into our lives. We are now the very embodiment of light itself. We shall live eternally, you and I. We are the light of the eternal God in the midst of a world of darkness. We are his agents. We are his light. Jesus came to reveal that light to us. Then we have accepted that light. And guess what we are to do? We're to take that light and not hide it under a basket. We are to go and tell the world about it. The world. Any way we can do that. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Isn't that wonderful? Truly is. That's who we are today. We become the very embodiment of light. Now, we're not God. I don't want to say that. But it's God in us that shines through us in a very special way. Life is promised and used by the believers in many ways, in our worship, in our work, in our warfare, walking and living, witnessing and watching here on earth. That light should be there. And so look at verse 8 then. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Or you could say, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is the second thing we're going to look at today. Light bears the things of life, the fruit of the Spirit. We will bear the fruit of the Spirit. A life that illuminates life will give off these three things in particular that Paul mentions here. First, goodness. What is that? If we are Christians, there should be a goodness that shines out from our life. This means to be full of virtue and excellence and kindness and helpfulness, peace and consideration. Goodness steps forward and does what it can to stop and control evil. We want goodness to be seen in the midst of the world. That's who we are today. That's why we come together studying the Word so we can go back out into the world and then show the light of God's goodness, not our own goodness, but the goodness of God, the goodness of God. Also, we see righteousness. This means both to be righteous and to do righteous things. We can only be seen as righteous in the eyes of God by the work of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. And we can only do the right things when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit in our lives. But that's who we are. We're people of goodness. We're people of righteousness, is what Paul's saying. And then we are people of truth. We speak truth. We walk in truth. It is what he's speaking about here is moral truth, saving truth, working truth, and living truth. It is not simply something to be known. It is something to be, something to be done in our lives today. We are people of truth when we go into the world, even if it hurts. If it hurts, we may lose an opportunity in work or something like that. Then we should be people of truth. We speak truth. Everything that comes forth from our lips is used for the building up, the edifying of the person that hears what we are saying. It's a great challenge, but it is a wonderful, wonderful walk that we have today as human beings, being of the light. Third, look at verse 10 there. Moving along quickly, it says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. This is a third thing. Light shows what is acceptable to the Lord. We always want to do that. The light proves things. In other words, it tests things. It shows what is acceptable. What does this mean? As the believer walks in the light, he shows to the world what is acceptable and not acceptable to the Lord. That's who we are. We say yes to the right things. We say no to the wrong things. We say yes to light. We say no to darkness, that which is acceptable. We see as believers, we show what path to take and what path not to take. That's our examples again. And we show what a person should do and what they should not do. That's you and I as we grow through. It's a great call. It's a great responsibility. But inside of us lives he who will empower us to walk that walk. He's called the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit. He will be enable us, as Paul says right there, to walk in goodness, walk in righteousness, and walk in truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Look at verses, please, there. Actually, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, test all things, hold fast what is good. That's where we go as we go through life. Look at verses 11 then and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. No means what? Not one bit. Not one bit. Do you know how it encourages me? If I would have said 3 years, there could have been other people that would stand here today that have been involved in this fellowship. But I look back at the mountains. I look at the creamers here. I look at the different things. I even look at you, Nathan, right there, you. And I look at them and say, people love Jesus. What an encouragement it is as I look out and see you people that you have stayed strong. Well, if they can stay strong, Lord, I can. My shirt is perfect, isn't it? It really is. We can stay strong. We can stay strong in God. You know, when I contact, and I'm with Mike McIntosh, who was our pastor in San Diego, he's faithful. He's been faithful for over 50 years. I can remain faithful because he's remained faithful in that way. And I look at other people and the sweetness of fellowship in the Calvary chapels that we're part of, bumping into people and going to conferences and all that. They've been faithful. I've seen Dave and Tammy here. They were faithful out in Terre Haute. God has blessed them and brought them here, and now they're working in the missions here too. Faithfulness. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Test all things, hold fast to what is good. And the fourth thing we see here again, verses 11 and 12, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Don't go there is what Paul's saying. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Light exposes the works of darkness. That's what light does. We are to have no fellowship. That word is koinonia, sharing in common. In other words, with darkness. In other words, we are not to share in common anything from the works of the flesh. We can go to Galatians chapter 5 and see that. Today, as Christians, we don't go that route. We can choose to go that route, but we choose not. We choose to walk in the light as Jesus is our light. We have no fellowship there, but we rather expose them, Paul said. Here's our mission. We expose the darkness. Sin is never to be taken lightly. The very fact that we are charged to reprove it is clear evidence of this truth. Our task is to reflect so much light that all the works of darkness around us are exposed and expelled. This is a crazy world, is it not? Does anybody think that it's getting crazier? And so there's a greater need for you and I to shine as the light of Jesus Christ, allow it to shine through us. We get in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We know the truth. We know what the truth is. And that, okay, God, Holy Spirit, strengthen me to walk this way because this is the truth and all of that. That's who we are day in and day out because it is becoming more difficult. The battle is intensifying. I guarantee it's going to get even more so and more so and more so. Because why? The Bible says it. Read the book of Revelation. It's right there. We know where we're going as a world. I don't know if I'll be around if I keep riding stupidly. I won't. You know? In that way, not at all. But, you know, we don't know how many years we have or whatever we have, you know. I'm blessed, and I won't mention a person's name in our fellowship, but basically found out he's got a short time to live. But when I talk to him, he's just on the, and I talk to him, and he's just going, whatever I got, man, I'm going to live it out. I'm going to live it out. And I think, what a great attitude. What a great hour. Is he sad? Will he miss his family and all that? You bet. But when I listen to him, I get encouraged by that. Well, if he can do that and then he's facing that, then I can do this because I'm facing this. Just amazing the light that is in our lives. We are to expose the bad things. In Luke chapter 17, verse 3, it says, "Take heed," Jesus said, "to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." Forgive him that way. So light exposes the works of darkness. And then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said this, "Let your speech also be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. For it is shameful even to speak of those things." We're not even to talk about the dark works of this world. We're not to mention them and get involved in them that way. Wrapping up the message, look at verse 13. "But all things that are exposed are made manifest." Notice the word "all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." We see the fifth thing here. Light reveals and converts everything that it touches. Jesus changes the lives of people. We allow Jesus to touch us, and it's changed. This week, I met with a guy, sweet guy, and he's been a pastor up in northern Indiana, and he's been called into this ministry called Revive. It's about revival. And I was just talking with him, and we were talking about revival. We were talking about the sweetness of God, and we were both in tears. We were just both in tears, and it was just sweet. It's sweet to talk about the light. It's sweet to talk about Jesus. It's sweet to talk about that he may come in ways that we have seen him in the past. My wife and I were born again out of revival. We know what it feels like. We know what it tastes like. And we want to see it so much. Anybody want to see it? Yeah. We got to pray, because revival costs that way. It does. Light reveals and converts everything that it touches. Someone has said this: societies may change, methods of committing sin may change, but one truth does not change. When sin is exposed to the light of God's truth, something drastic happens. People who allow the Bible to have access to their lives will become very uncomfortable if they are practicing sin. The Holy Spirit is extremely faithful in reproving the world of sin. In other words, he reproves the world, or unbelievers, non-believers, wrong about their attitude towards sin, righteousness, and judgment. God seeks to bring them to the realization that the sacrifice of Jesus is the only sacrifice given for the sins of mankind. I love that statement. Jesus is the way. Verse 14, we'll end here. "Therefore, he," God says, and here's the challenge to you and I today, "awake, you that are sleeping, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And that goes for the unbeliever, but I also believe it goes for the believer. The last thing is light awakens the sleeping. Light awakens the sleeping, those who are spiritually dead for sure. But notice this verse is being written to the believers. Too many professing believers are passing through life just like unbelievers, asleep. Today, are we asleep in any way? I have found at times I find I'm asleep. I'm asleep. Let me just talk about myself. I'm asleep, and I'm not happy about that. Just talking with the pastor this week and just realized the sweetness of what he's been experiencing. I love that. We experience a lot of good things, but there's ways that I can take a nap. I can take a nap and I forget. Wait a minute, it's souls. Men and women, boys and girls, sometimes we forget the battle is for the souls of people, family members, people that we love, neighbors and all of that. Let's not fall asleep. They are living, so many sometimes believers, in the darkness of spiritual sleep and spiritual death. They are fellowshipping with and awe and too often participating in the works of darkness. Christians can do that. They are unaware and ignorant of the great heritage and promises God has given to us in Christ Jesus. But notice there, he says, "And Christ will give you light." How many want light? It's Christ. Christ will give us light. Notice that the only source to awaken a person out of spiritual sleep and death is Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen? And so just a beautiful section there. Look on the screen. I love, this is one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. It says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen? Go with me. I know I just saw some of you close your Bible. Go back to verse 8, please. Okay. Open that Bible. Open that phone, that iPad. Here's what we have covered today. Verse 8, for you and I, were once darkness, but now you are light. That's who we are, in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of light, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Each and every day we do that. And have no fellowship, no koinonia, no sharing in common with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Speak up about those. Let your light shine so brightly that it exposes them. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. In secret, it says. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. How many here, don't raise your hands, but in your heart, you want God to revive you, to restore you, to refresh you, to empower you, to do something mighty in your life. We're going to begin to pray for that in ways maybe we haven't prayed for that in a while.
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.